I'll be reading Exodus 3:11-15, which can be found on page 53 in the Bibles in the pew. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'"
Our speaker this evening is Lee Minton, and we are very thankful for Brother Lee. He has spoken to us before. We're thankful for all the men, the young men who served and led us this evening. We're thankful for that. And we're thankful for our speaker. He has spoken to us before. We're very proud of him and excited about what he has to say tonight. We're looking forward to it. And we're thankful for his willingness to desire to stand up and speak God's word boldly, and we're thankful for that. And so we look forward to it. Lee, come speak to us.
Thank you, Juan, for that scripture reading. Good afternoon. Twice, I've been asked in school to write an I Am poem. The purpose of this lesson is to create a poem that describes yourself. As you can imagine, the outcome can be very interesting. Ironically, I have an I Am poem right here, and even more ironic, somebody from this congregation assigned this to me, which reads, "I am from fried chicken, mashed potatoes which are ever so creamy, green beans and greens whose smell would carry through the house every time they were made, and the sweet, sweet smell of peach cobbler, the potlucks that took place ever so often. I'm from the sounds of the past, constant pass of the ball up against the wall, the flicker of the broken street light that will never get fixed. I am from the smell of barbecue ever so often, and the guilt of the broken blinds and glass. I'm from because I said so, keep trying, never give up, and stay focused, which motivated me throughout my childhood. I'm from my family and friends, which I've been there every step of the way. Kristen and Charlie, Madison, Mama, and Mimi, DJ, Ian, Olivia, Auntie, and Uncle, and so, so many more friends and family." Now, that might have been a little bit funny. Well, maybe not. But there are different versions of an I Am poem that may include completing sentences such as, "I wonder," "I hear," "I see," "I want," "I pretend," "I feel," "I understand," "I cry," "I dream," and we can go so on and so forth. As Christians, wouldn't this be a great exercise for us? I am a follower of Christ. I understand the Word of God and how I should use it to grow as a Christian. I cry when I think of those who have not obeyed the gospel. I dream of what heaven must be like. And I rejoice when our Christian family grows. But my goal over these next few minutes will be the reminder of the focus we should have on sharing the demonstration of faith from the past. The reference to God as I am, and the hope that is found through Christ. We should be able to deliver a message of hope and salvation boldly. Do we sometimes hesitate? Do we sometimes doubt our ability or authority to deliver such a bold message? How do we overcome these feelings or thoughts? What motivates us to continue? Let's consider these questions as we look in Exodus chapter 3. We see Moses tending to his father-in-law's flock when he came to the mountain of God in Horeb. It appears that Moses is performing tasks as any other day. But this is definitely not an ordinary day. As Moses starts to focus on this bush, God calls him to get his attention. Moses immediately acknowledges, "Here I am." God identifies himself in this way: "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." The Lord acknowledges the oppression of his people and his plan to bring them to the land flowing with milk and honey. God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh and to bring his children out of Egypt. How does Moses react? Please turn with me to Exodus 3, 11 through 13. In these verses, Moses asks two questions. And it reads, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And when I go to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" Some may point out that it appears that Moses has lost all confidence and felt inadequate to deliver such a bold message. But God assures Moses by saying, "I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Exodus 3:14. Can we really give a name to God? God is who he is. God is what the children of Israel needed. He heard the cries of the Israelites and promised to deliver them. We were reminded of Moses' faith in the New Testament. Please turn with me to the book of Hebrews 11, 23 through 26. Again, that is book of Hebrews 11, 23 through 26. And it reads, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw that he was a beautiful child. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches, for he looked to the reward." Today, what reassurances has God given us? Isn't this where our knowledge of the past faith steps in? We come in contact with God through his inspired word. As we read the Bible, do we not stop to look closer and examine the message that is being revealed? In Ephesians 6, we know to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. We are to put on the whole armor of God, girding our waist with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, taking the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Our focus should not be on our insecurities, but on God, the great I am. When in doubt, return to Scripture. As Christians, we are running a race of faith. Please turn with me to the book of Hebrews 12:1. And it reads, "Therefore, since we also are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run that race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before us, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured the cross. God caught our attention by demonstrating His own love for us, in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you look again at Moses in Exodus chapter 14, 13, the children of Israel hesitated to cross the Red Sea. Moses responded, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation which the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you'll see again no more forever." The salvation referenced here is fulfillment of His promise to the children of Israel. Christ endured reproach on our behalf, so that we may have eternal salvation in Him. If you return to Hebrews 11:26, by faith Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ's greater riches, for he looked to the reward. Let us always remember, we should be confident in the promise of salvation through our obedience and faith. As the disciples are commanded in Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." When those in the world do not understand or are not assured of faith through Jesus Christ, it is important to share the gospel with them. Stand firm in your faith, knowing that you can make an impact. Follow God's directions in all that you do with confidence. Are you ready? The thought of being bold and confident makes me think of how I first felt when I realized that when I stood in front of a group or people of audience, that people were actually watching my every move. Now, I know some of those looks were some out of encouragement. However, I really had to overcome my fears. I felt insecure about what I was supposed to do or even say, even though I had clear instructions. I can still remember reciting a speech in kindergarten program and getting so nervous that I could not finish, or reading a scripture in the last leaders' convention and not wanting to look up. I took a few years of mixed martial arts. In the beginning of martial arts testing, the panel of instructors are very forgiving. They know that mistakes are made and is a learning process. They give us baby steps, so that when we are confronted with higher level testing, we are prepared. Doesn't this sound familiar? Our Christian walk is very similar to this. In higher level testing, we are taught to be bold and confident with every move. Some of my challenges with advancing through martial arts testing was linked to not having the confidence to demonstrate my boldness and abilities. I had to keep learning so that when I can build the confidence needed to perform without being concerned about who was looking at me. Isn't this familiar to our growth as Christians? We are given clear instructions. Mistakes will be made, but it is a learning process. We have to be ready for the next challenge. Let's reflect back on Exodus 3:14. Moses moved closer to the burning bush. Are we moving closer to hear God's message? So that we can be bold in knowing that God is the great I Am? I'm a young man, just learning to be bold with God's message. I still have a lot of learning to do in my walk as a Christian. My parents still do too. I'm a baby in Christ. But we all have a voice that can influence others to ask questions about their daily walk and their eternal salvation. Who are you? Are you a child of God? Who are you? Are you a child of God? If you have not taken the first step to receive the gift of salvation, it starts by hearing God's word. Romans 10:17 says you have to hear the word of God. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through our obedience and faith. After hearing, Hebrews 11:6 says you must believe. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who earnestly seek him. Then you must repent of your sins, according to Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, according to Romans 10:10. Then you must be immersed in water, baptized for the remission of your sins, as Peter states in Acts 2:38. If you have obeyed the gospel, that is not the end. You should live faithfully. If you feel that you have fallen away and would like to be restored, please come as we together sing our song of invitation.